From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. The Taliban has issued a response to President Obama's new strategy for Afghanistan. The military group says it won't work. NPR's Jackie Northam reports from the Afghan capital, Kabul.
The statement sent out on a known Taliban website says there is nothing new in the strategy for Afghanistan that was laid out by President Obama, in which he pledged to send an additional 30,000 U.S. troops to Afghanistan to help quell the rising insurgency here. The Taliban said the history of Afghanistan has shown that increasing troops will not have any impact other than creating more militants, and that President Obama's decision is the result of pressure by the U.S. military and private security contractors. The Afghan president, Hamid Karzai, issued a more positive response to the new strategy. Karzai said he's satisfied with it because, among other things, it will help provide security, build up the Afghan army, and enable the government to become more efficient. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Kabul.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates is telling Congress today that a U.S. failure in Afghanistan would mean a Taliban takeover. He said defeat for America also would strengthen al-Qaeda and give comfort to light-thinking extremists in the region. Arizona Senator John McCain, a member of the committee, took issue with the president's July 2011 date to begin withdrawing troops from Afghanistan.
Success is the real exit strategy. And when conditions on the ground have decisively begun to change for the better, that is when our troops should start to return home with honor. Not 1 minute longer, not 1 minute sooner, and certainly not on some arbitrary date in July 2011.
Arizona Senator John McCain. NPR has learned that investigators have identified some key failings at the FBI that may explain why the alleged shooter at Fort Hood went unnoticed. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston has details.
According to officials familiar with the investigation, the FBI's San Diego field office gave the FBI in Washington Major Nadal Hassan's file back in February. The file included two intercepted emails Hassan had written to a radical imam in Yemen. The case sat in Washington for 3 months, and when the agent followed up, he neglected to ask for any updates. That meant he didn't receive 16 more recent emails Hassan had written. The emails weren't forwarded because the FBI field office thought they were consistent with Hassan's research, and agents there were waiting for Washington's assessment of Hassan. While the missing emails are not conclusive, having 18 emails instead of just two might well have changed the way the D.C. case officer assessed the danger Hassan presented. The mix-up is outlined in a memo about the investigation that went to the White House. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up by 1 point. The Nasdaq Composite Index is up by 9. This is NPR News. Islamist militants have claimed responsibility for a bomb that derailed a Russian high-speed train last week. 26 people were killed, dozens more injured. NPR's Anne Garrels has more.
The website quoted a letter it received from Islamist separatists. It claimed the bombing was done on the orders of Doku Umarov, a leading Chechen militant who seeks to free the mainly Muslim North Caucasus from Moscow's rule. Friday's bombing has raised fears of a new wave of attacks in major Russian cities. Russian officials say police officers will be deployed to guard trains traveling between Moscow and St. Petersburg. Police patrols are to be beefed up at train stations. But a senior Russian railways official acknowledged protecting the entire network is physically impossible. Officials say the attack was the work of experts. After the initial blast, a second explosion was triggered by a mobile phone call the next day as investigators worked at the crime scene. One of Russia's top law enforcement officials was wounded. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Moscow.
On Capitol Hill, the House of Representatives is set to begin the overhaul of the nation's financial system. The bill imposes new restraints on big Wall Street institutions and demands greater openness from the Federal Reserve. This morning, a House committee has scheduled a vote on a bill that would give the government the right to dismantle financial firms that pose a risk to the economy, even if they are healthy. If the measure passes, it could come to a full House vote as early as next week. The only problem is whether members of the Congressional Black Caucus will hold the bill hostage for more robust action to bring down unemployment in the black community. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News, in Washington.